It's time for JT the Brick.
The main reason why I have the back of the Raider Nation, the main reason why I do this for a living, because of the global disrespect this franchise gets from people who are wrong more than they're right on the radio. The lazy national narrative is the Raiders don't have a quarterback. I mean, really? Yeah, well, the Raiders are one of the worst teams in football. I said, worst teams? They won 8 games.
JT the Brick.
That's why I love you in the Raider Nation. You don't like anything. You're hardcore Raider Nation. You don't like anything until it's proven to you. There are Raider fans in Vegas. There are Raider fans globally. There are season ticket holders. Okay? There's a whole bunch of different Raider fans, but we're all one nation. One nation, the Raider Nation. And we're all on the same page. We want to win. That is another unbelievable article on anti-Raider propaganda. The roster's better than last year.
And now,
Big Boy Radio.
Here's JT the Brick.
JT, out of the gate as we get going, live from Raiders training camp in beautiful Costa Mesa, California. And we are joined by the general manager right out of the gate. Tom Telesco joins us. Tom, great to see you. Thanks for coming on.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Great to see you. Good spirited end to practice here. Tell us about that.
It was great. This is one of those tough days. You know, we had early in the week, we had two back-to-back, you know, really tough full padded practices. And then trying to finish, we're trying to get ready for the scrimmage tomorrow. But to come out today, physical, spirited, competitive both ways. Like, I want the practice to be balanced. I don't want one side of the ball to really be dominating the other side, which we didn't see today. It went both ways. Tough work. These guys are tough. They really are. They're competing every day, so it's great to see.
So is it a more physical camp than you expected, or right about where it should be throughout your tenureship and career?
It's what I anticipated for the Raiders right now. This is us. I mean, this is us. It's been a physical camp. I knew that coming in. But that's the type of team we're going to have to be. We really are. It's not a cliche to say it's, you know, us versus them. Mm-hmm. You know, the old Al Davis, like, it's us versus everybody else. That's the mentality. But it starts here. It starts at training camp, and that's the vision that Antonio has for this football team. And you got to show it on the field. You just can't talk it. You got to show it.
Let's talk about the quarterbacks. Good days, day that they struggle. When they have a good day or a day that you want to see more out of them, what do you hear about them and see in the classroom, how they're able to interpret what they've done and then come out and correct it?
Yeah, you know, the one thing I don't do is, you know, grade them every single day and this and that. Like, it's going to be a cumulative effect of the whole camp. We'll kind of take it from there. I keep using the word subjective. It kind of is. You know, we'll have a feel for who it's going to be. They're both two different styles of quarterbacks. But here at training camp, the production level has been about the same. And kind of saw the same thing in OTAs. We'll see it kind of work out. I like how they're both handling the huddle. It's a big part of it, is the leadership, the command. Obviously, Gardner has done a little bit more. You see he has it. But I'm seeing a lot of it out of Aiden, you know, for a young quarterback. I don't know where he was at this point last year, but usually probably not the same command he has now. I like what I've seen so far in that regard.
Until Colton is ready and Jackson Powers Johnson come back, and that's part of your offensive line on the left side, what have you seen with the depth at that position that encourages you?
Very encouraging. It's always nice to know that we got, you know, an all-pro tackle just working out on the side. Yeah. They'll be back in a couple weeks when Colton is ready to go. And it gets other guys some work. Thayer Mumford really coming along. And actually, Andres Peace did a great job for us handling left tackle. We made some adjustments today to get Thayer some work on the left side. DJ Glaze has been really incredible. They start the camp the way he has at 21 years old to block these guys. He's been blocking. Really happy to see that as a young player. But we have to have that depth on the offensive line. You're more than likely, you'd like to have those same five the whole year.
Yes.
It doesn't work like that, but it's been really good so far.
Tom Telesco joins us. I want to stay with DJ Glaves. One of your picks there, you saw something when you saw him work out before you drafted him. You're really seeing that evolution early in camp.
Yeah, I mean, he's 21 years old, and it was cool to see on Monday, or I think it was Tuesday, our first day in pads. Everybody's a little bit, you know, anxious, especially a rookie at 21 years old.
Yeah.
And the first period, Thayer Mumford, you know, has a, you know, small little injury where he couldn't get right back in there. And all of a sudden, DJ's in the huddle, first snap of training camp, full pads, and he's got Max Crosby right over him. And he held his own, which is hard. I mean, I've never seen anybody practice the way Max practices. Great work for our tackles. But just a maturity level that really, you know, he doesn't get panicked, which can happen for tackles, especially when you're facing big-time people. So that's great. It's work we need. Offensive linemen are hard to find, but he's a little farther along than I anticipated right now.
Great to see. I want to talk about Zamir White, and can you tell the fans what you've seen? We see his lower body and his strength, and I would suggest that he's going to be a potential elite back on short yardage, but then the ability to break tackles. How was he trained in the offseason, and what did you see when he came back?
he's got a lot of juice and speed in a back that's really thick. And he had a great day today. Now, obviously, it's not live, so it's hard to see running back sometimes when it's not live. But he made some runs today where he got in the hole, a lateral cut with some bursts, and then get to full speed really quick. He's got those traits. He's a young back.
Yeah,
there's still a lot to learn in the passing game as far as pass protection, but he's got good hands out of the backfield. But he's got a really strong, powerful body, but he's got speed.
Seen a lot with Dylan Lobby already, especially on third down, and the ability to run a wheel route and just catch the ball and then go north-south there. Tell us about him.
Yeah, great, really instinctive running back. He just has a great feel for the position, both as a runner and in the passing game. He's a fun player to watch. He's got a lot of energy to him. We can use him in a couple different ways. He's picked things up pretty quick.
Good.
And which is great to see because he's coming from New Hampshire, which is a good level of football, but it's it's not the FBS. It's not high Division One. And coming out in the field, you can just see by the look in his eyes that this isn't too big for him. He plays with a smile on his face. And it's still early, but he's got some traits we like.
I want to have our conversation that we had on the field about special teams and what I saw last night, even though they ended the game early, in Canton, Ohio. What you like about the new kickoff when it comes to coverage and especially returns. Because it was wild last night, and everybody on sports radio and TV this morning, that was the low-hanging fruit everyone wanted to talk about.
Yeah, who knew you'd be talking this much about kickoff return. Yeah. But it's look, the last couple of years, the amount of returns just dropped dramatically. And that was by design by the league. They were trying to cut down on injuries, but it turned into a ceremonial play, everyone just banging it through the end zone. So this will give a lot more excitement. Most kicks will have to be returned. And we're all trying to figure out what's the best way to block it and what's the best way to cover it. We saw a little bit of it last night. But it's got the potential to be a big play. And the kickoff return is one of the most exciting plays in football.
Yeah.
So that will be reintroduced. But we're all still trying to figure out what exactly it's going to look like. We've put a lot of time on the practice field, repping it and working it. OTAs, training camp. And we'll probably adjust as the season goes on, but it's got a potential to be a big-time play.
Yeah, I talked to Amir Abdullah about that and what type of player you're going to be looking for at the end of this roster when you get to 53 who can do that. The quick, jerky player that can make a move, or maybe a bigger player like a backup tight end that could set a block and really power some people. I don't know. I haven't seen it really other than here in practice. But as a personnel guy, you got to be fascinated about that player who could be a difference maker in that position.
Yeah, I kind of am. It's a more in-space play. So as far as covering and blocking kicks, you're probably looking at more tight ends, linebackers, bigger safeties, more so than maybe like some smaller defensive linemen, which you used to be able to use, but probably not with this the way the techniques are now. And then as the returner, the style of returner, because obviously punt returners and kickoff returners traditionally have been a different style. Well, what's the style of this new kickoff return? I'm not sure yet. We have a couple guys that all have different styles. We're going to throw it all together, see how it works out.
Tom Telesco joins us as we wrap it up. We've seen around the league the kicker can kick that low line drive, that knuckleball, that ball that can bounce. So really, the high, lofty kick, we're not going to see too much of that, or are we going to wait for this to evolve because everyone's got to see it first?
Yeah, I don't think we'll see a lot of high kicks because there's no advantage for the hang time because nobody can move until the ball's caught. So now the thing is, like in this league, there's a lot of good kickers, including ours, that can really place the ball. And if you can kick a line drive and that ball starts knuckling, it's hard to field for the returner. And once the ball hits the ground, since it's not round, it's oblong, you don't know where it's going to bounce. It could bounce left, right, you don't know. So it's got the potential to be, which hopefully it's not a sloppy play, but once the ball hits the ground, we don't know where it's going to go. So that's things people are working on. I don't know if we'll see that in the preseason if teams try and go that route, some line drive kicks, but something we've been working on just as far as in case someone does it to us.
Yes, a couple more position groups. The second corner opposite of Jack Jones and the depth that you have here and the evolution of Ja'Corian Bennett. What have you seen from him, and do you feel comfortable with what you have on the roster at corner?
I like Ja'Corian Bennett. He's having a great camp.
Good.
The confidence level, which is normal for a second-year player, where he has a pretty good feel for what's coming now. As a rookie, it's hard.
Yeah.
It really is, especially at that position. But like today, it was great to say, he got beat today, came back the next play, and didn't faze him. And that's part of being a corner in this league. It's hard to learn. You got to brush it off real quick, real short memory. He's quick. He's fast. He's got long arms, and he's got a great makeup. So really happy with him. And Brandon Faison, he's going through a couple of things right now off the, medically wise, but he should be back pretty soon. He was having really good OTAs for us. And I've seen him play at a high level as a starter. So we do have some guys there.
How do you feel about the money you have on reserve here for another player potentially if you need to, or GMs around the league looking at it differently now because you have very good players next year that are coming up with contracts. So when you look at the money that you have, if you saw a particular player that could fit the roster, I know you're always looking for upgrades.
Yeah, always. It's good to have cap space rather than the other way around. This time of the year, you know, at least half the league have $20 million or more, so it's pretty common. And this time of year, there's really nobody out there that's going to really command big dollar out of your cap money. And then we always have to have an eye for the future as far as to make sure, because every dollar you don't use rolls over. And like in our team, like I'm focused on 2024 right now. I have to have a small eye on 25, 26, 27. And we've got some free agents that will be up. We've got to make sure we have enough money for those guys. But yeah, if something pops, whether it's training camp or early in the season or even midseason, you always got to have a little kitty to go to. And we have that right now.
Finally, the defensive line. I love it. I saw Tyree again today. I was sitting with the media going, I mean, I can't even describe him to our audience what he looks like. He just, it's a Kevin Durant, 200 pounds of muscle. Never seen an athlete like that in all my years here. And then having the ability to bring him off the edge or inside, Malcolm Kuntz, Max, and Christian Wilkins. When you got Wilkins, which was a iconic move for this franchise, now that you're seeing it come together here in pads, what jumps out at you?
That we can now generate some interior pass rush. That's the hardest to find. You know, Max is already here. Malcolm Kuntz, we know what he can do on the edge. But now to get some work from Christian Wilkins and even Tyree Wilson when he bumps down, say, on passing downs, you know, those guards, hard to block long, athletic, quick interior players. And Tyree's got some of that. So we've got some guys we can move around. I love the fact that Tyree can play inside and outside. It gives us a lot of options with that group. If you're rushing the passer a lot, you know, you got to get a breather every now and then. So we got guys that come in and kind of keep that same level of production. But that interior passer is so hard to find in this league, and the more you have it, the better.
Last one, the fans. We know that there are rules here being in Southern California. I have abided by all of that. We're here to talk about the Raiders, and we really appreciate your time. But these fans, not only the ones in Southern California, Northern California, but globally, are really excited. There's an 8-win team last year that clearly got better via the draft and free agency. What is your message to the fans as we're going to be wrapping up Costa Mesa at the end of next week?
Just keep following. The support's unbelievable. Like, and you know it, and I'm just learning it, you know, being a part of this, being a part of Raider Nation everywhere you go. I've got eyes and ears in Newport, and I heard somebody's out on a boat going around kind of representing
Raider
Nation. Hey, I
got to get off Twitter, man, because when I went to the Stray Cats last night, and I'm on a boat, so I want to make sure everybody knows I'm a grinder.
I don't even need Twitter. I got plenty of eyes and ears in this town since I lived here so long. But but you know, you see the support everywhere. And then, you know, the standard that this organization has, and it really comes from the former players.
Yeah.
It's amazing, and it's the support that they give. It's not just former players that have, you know, hey, this is all the stuff that's going wrong. It's like it's the support, and then what they did, we got to rise to their standard that was here before.
I'm happy you said that. You're seeing alumni over here.
Oh, it's
the other day, I'm with the owner, and I looked down, and I forgot that's Greg Townsend. He's our all-time sack leader, and he was – I mean, you couldn't even look at him. He was so focused on practice. Kirk Morrison today.
Yes.
You just see other guys come around here. And that's really important. I know you're embracing that in the building and seeing it.
It's important to me. It's when you say once a Raider, always a Raider, I mean, they live it here.
Yeah,
and I love being a part of that. And like I said, they're so engaged and so supportive of this team and this family. So it's great to be part of that.
Thank you, Tom. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
You got it. Tom Telesco, everybody. Really appreciate him coming down as we just open up the show live on the flagship of the Silver and Black. Brought to you by PT's, the best happy hour in town. We really appreciate it. That's fantastic. A lot of good information here as we open up the show. Vic Tafer will join us from The Athletic. Levi Edwards, we're expecting another player. The Raiders have been great to us as we've been here. Thanks a lot, Tom. And we're going to tell you more and more about what I'm seeing out here. I hope everybody enjoyed that. I hope everybody enjoyed that and got a chance to see on our YouTube feed Tom Telesco as we opened it up. And that was really good. 702-365-9200. Thanks again to the GM. And again, if you can't hear him perfectly on YouTube, I don't care. I have to focus on interviewing the GM of the team. You have the app. You have a radio station. Everybody enjoy what we're giving you. We're giving you more access than any show with these guests as we've been here every day. So my takeaway from practice today, I'm not frustrated with the quarterback play. I continue to expect the quarterback play to get better. Okay, the quarterback play has not been exceptionally good. And you can look at it a couple of different ways. Tom talked about it. You got a really good defense. You got an experienced defensive front. You have two starting offensive linemen. I was always assuming that Jackson Powers Johnson was going to start, but he's missing a lot of camp. And I'm still confident that they're bringing him along and he'll be here. And he'll be here for the preseason. If that changes along the way, we'll see what happens. But Tom really likes the depth of the offensive line. And DJ Glaze, I think Dylan Lalby and DJ Glaze are the two players, the new players on this team that we're most impressed with. I'm impressed with the growth of Jacorian Bennett and what he's able to do at the cornerback position. I think he is vastly improved, as Tom said, in a confident level. Now, a lot of fans who are listening, you don't want to play rookie offensive linemen if you don't have to. You don't. Thayer Mumford doesn't have a lot of experience, but he's a veteran on this team. So the veteran offensive linemen who have been pulled into this team are here because they're really supposed to be able to come in and play at a very high level if they're called on, because Colt Miller can't go. As Tom said, Colt Miller was on the other field today. He looks like he's ready to go. No need to bring him in today. No need to bring him in. They have him in a schedule overall. And then Brock Bowers again today. Michael Mayer. I thought Trey Tucker had a better day today. The last drive of the game, which started on the 20 and ended up with a scoring opportunity, was really good. That was an excellent opportunity for the quarterbacks to get going again, especially Aiden O'Connell. There's a lot of other media that are here today, and there's more national media today. Our teammates from Compass Media who broadcast our games, they're out here. Kirk Morrison again, the NFL Network's out here. There's Sibley Scholes and TJ Ward. Their podcast is here, as Max Crosby's coming up to it here in a little bit. So there's some excitement, man. There's some more juice because of the 2 days of practice. There's a scrimmage tomorrow night that they're going to try to. I think they have to have a productive scrimmage here. As I've been telling you, the only analysis that I can bring you in the limited views I get when I'm here is that they're running out of time. They're running out of time in Costa Mesa at practices and reps and pads and incompletions and completions. Every bleeping play is a luxury that has to be executed on properly. Once a ball drops, once a ball is incomplete, once someone drops or it tips off a hand, you never get that rep back. That rep is gone. And we don't have many more left. So every single possession, for me at least, is really valued. And if it's valued to me, I'm sure it's valued to Luke Getsy and what we're seeing with this offensive coaching staff. They have got to make sure they get better heading into the Minnesota game. Now, I talked to a member of the media today that I'll keep off the record, that said the good news and the bad news. I said, start with the bad news. He said, well, the quarterbacks haven't looked great. They haven't looked really good. I said, yeah, I'm getting a lot of that. But he said, the good news is they should be playing more. Technically, we should see them more in the preseason. And if they're going to play in the preseason, maybe these reps will be even more important. The way Gardner Minshew is playing right now, I really believe that Gardner Minshew is not proving to be the starting quarterback so far. I think that Gardner Minshew, if he wants to become the starter and wants to come out here and have an opportunity to be the starter, he's got to outplay Aiden O'Connell, and he's not doing that. And it's not like Aiden O'Connell's playing like Aaron Rodgers or Peyton Manning or Tom Brady back in the day. So he's got some work to do here. But it's clear that Aiden has more command of the offense and the huddle the way I see it. So that's where we are. It's 20 after. It's a Modelo Friday. And I got a lot of all of our proud partners that I'm going to thank. I'm going to open it up with PTs because they fuel the monologue, and they are rocking right now. I was on a conference call with our friends at Golden Entertainment. We're getting ready for football season, which means we're stepping it up with PTs, with your fantasy football parties. So if you're having a fantasy football party, you get your group together. They have you all set up over at PTs. They'll make sure that you have a comfortable environment to put your draft together and have an unbelievable time. PT's fuels the monologue from 5 to 7, midnight to 2, the best happy hour in town. Head on out to PT's. Vic Tafer is going to join us coming up here in a little bit. Levi Edwards with a camp hit coming up here on Friday. And we're going to take your phone calls today, because today we are down to the final three greatest Raider games of all time. So for everybody who's in my YouTube chat, which I appreciate, because we get a chance to talk about this, including my great friend Raider Ryan, who used to work with me. The final three games are Super Bowl games. What Super Bowl would you put at number three? So you can't have number one being three Super Bowls. Number one is going to be a Super Bowl. We're down to the final three. How you rank those Super Bowls in order? Super Bowl 11, Super Bowl 15, and Super Bowl 18 is important to me. So get on into the chat, YouTube, JT the Brick, YT, or call in 702-365-9200. The game that we're going to hit on Friday, today, is a Super Bowl, but I want to know what Super Bowl you think we're going to have ranked number three out of all those Super Bowls, because I know all the guys who played in all those Super Bowls and had incredible access to them all. And we're not going to offend anybody, but I told you this list wasn't easy that we put together, and we want to hear what you have to think on that. Also, I went to the Stray Cats last night. Brian Setzer, the lead singer and guitar player, is an amazing musician, and I met him in the team hotel, and he invited my wife and I to his show last night, so we had an unbelievable time after I was boating all day yesterday, not only in the Newport Harbor, but on the Newport Ocean, which was a lot of fun. I didn't have enough sunscreen. That's important. I'll make sure I do a better job than that. And then a nice cigar last night underneath the stars in Costa Mesa, coming off the Stray Cats at that amphitheater, was a really, really, really good time. So I love being on the road. Remember, a week ago Friday, 1 hour from what's coming, I took off and drove, and it took me 22 hours to get home. I drove because I was out here playing golf. Some of the idiots are like, you couldn't afford a flight. No, idiots. Not idiots listening. Idiots, the trolls on social media. No, I drove because I was golfing places like Del Mar Country Club and Encinitas Ranch, and I needed a car for golf clubs. Now I'm flying back tomorrow, and my wife and I hope that Southwest Airlines on John Wayne Airport are on time. Let's hear from some callers today. We're live from camp. You just heard Tom Telesco. You, as the callers to the Raider Nation, could be live at training camp. You want to be a part of that. 702-365-9200. We got a big partner, Raising Cane's Chicken Fingers. I remind everybody, the only chicken fingers that I even look at, let alone taste, I'm a caniac, box combo, my kids, always, it's Raising Cane's Chicken Fingers. You're going back to school, coming up here, it's Raising Cane's. You're a Raider fan, you love iced tea. The best iced tea I've ever had. You're a Raider fan, wherever you go, including where I've been in Southern California, Raising Cane's Chicken Fingers, one love. They're our proud partner. Got a remote coming up with them next month that I want to tell you about. We thank Raising Cane's as they're our proud partner at training camp live from Costa Mesa. When we come back, we'll get Vic Tafer to join us in a little bit. And I'll wait to see what's going to happen previewing our Super Bowl game. It is a Modelo Friday. T.J. Ward is also out here. Maybe we'll talk to him, and hopefully we hear from you. If you're a Raider fan, I'm not really pounding the table today about disrespect. We don't get enough respect. I did a lot of that this week. But I have one more nugget to give you on the over-under on the Raiders this year. We'll get to that all coming up on the flagship, the Silver and Black.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, grew up 30 minutes down the road from here. Grew up, you know, rocking Silver and Black, watching the Raiders play in the Coliseum. I go back to my very first time I ever spoke to the media. You know, it's humbling and I'm honored. You know, I don't take it lightly. You know, I want to hopefully do something and be here and be consistent for this organization and put something and put a product out on the field that we're all proud of. And I just want to win.
It's Antonio Pierce from this morning. This is the Stray Cats from last night, as I got a chance to see them at the Costa Mesa Fairgrounds. Yeah, thanks to Brian Setzer. What a guitar player he is, man. What a band. And a really good time there last night. So that was fun. That was an added backyard brick story when I bumped into him. He's staying at the same hotel as the Raiders. and the Stray Cat tour bus pulled up there, and I saw him at the bar, and we're from the same hometown, Massapequa, Long Island, home of Jerry Seinfeld, Brian Setzer, JT the Brick, and Joey Buttafuoco. If you know, you know. So we had a nice conversation and had a really good time there last night. And practice today, another spirited practice. Max Crosby sitting down on a podcast now with TJ Ward and Sibley Scholes. They're having a conversation. There's a lot of players who are getting ready for the scrimmage tomorrow. And hopefully that scrimmage tomorrow we'll see more. You know, it's not going to be a real football game with full-on tackling and all that, but a opportunity to see this down in distance and how this offense is going to be able to get going. You know, it's 12 personnel what they're running now. I love the two tight end set. Oh, as you also know, Davante Adams is no longer here. Davante went back. His wife's about to give birth. So we're really excited about that. And, you know, if he comes back to Costa Mesa, no big deal. If he doesn't come back to Costa Mesa and he hooks up with the team in Minneapolis for the Vikings, I think that'll be pretty cool. But either way, this is about football. Tom Telesco just joined us. It's all business, and we're excited about it. Q's right here. He's going to have a big show as he set us all up from camp here. And there's a lot more people at camp today. So you got NFL radio from SiriusXM, and more people are coming in. So we're really excited about that, too. Antonio Pierce spoke earlier today. A couple of sound bites from him as we open up the show. I think this one is really important on DJ Glaze, who jumped in at practice and how he performed.
He showed up. He showed up in a big way. I mean, didn't blink, didn't flinch. You know, Mumford went down, and he popped in there. And, you know, first rep against Max. Okay, that's always going to be tough. But as the practice went on, you just saw a guy growing. But forget Tuesday. Since he's gotten here, he's just been steady Eddie. He's been consistent in everything he's done. His approach to the game, he's taking it like a pro. He's learning from some of those veterans that we have in front of him. Doesn't say a lot, but he's out here working there each and every day, and he gives his best foot forward each and every day. You see it. You see growth and improvement. You know, now, what does that translate onto the field? We'll still find out, but I think you have to be excited about where he's going and just his approach.
Yeah, there's a lot of talk about DJ Glaze, everybody, here at camp, because there's no doubt he's playing at a much higher level. He's able to jump in. He's doing a really good job. And I'm pretty impressed overall with what I've seen so far with DJ Glaze. He might get thrown in. He might get thrown in and have to play here pretty quickly, and I think he'll be able to do it. Another important bite from Coach Pierce on this quarterback competition is he's evaluating, even though he's a defensive-minded head coach, he's counting on his offensive staff as they're looking at these quarterbacks and their production.
I think we're all watching the same thing. You know, I thought Gardner had a really good practice the other day. Made some really good throws, good control, good in operation. I thought Aiden made some play. There were some drop series as well. But, you know, I don't want to get caught in an emotional game. That's like a roller coaster ride. You know, we're going to look at the body of work. Again, there's not really a date or anything that we stamped. But we're looking to build on back-to-back days, right? It'll be good to see Gardner go out there, have another good day, and then Aiden pick it up. So that's what we want to see from just not our quarterbacks, our team.
I want to hear from some fans today. If you watched the kickoffs last night at the Hall of Fame game, the new kickoff that looks a lot like a video game. It's very different. It's an evolution in the return game in the history of this sport. And I didn't pay attention to it last night. I watched a little bit of it, the highlights today. Pat McAfee was talking about it. All the shows were really diving in on it, trying to figure out how this is going to work. Raiders are going to have to be very good at this, because if they're not going to be great at certain things, they better be good or close to great when it comes to special teams and these kickoffs. Here's what happened last night and the reaction from the head coach.
Yeah, was you impressed? Yeah, that's how I felt too. Yeah.
It's weird.
Yeah. Well, it's gonna look weird with us too in a couple of days. We'll do it. But no, I thought it was really good. We showed it to our team today in the team meeting. Had Tom McMahon show there was penalties there. You saw that. But there's big play opportunities here too. So get it. You know what the league's trying to do. Obviously, we'll have our opportunity next week.
And last one that a lot of fans are talking about, is what's going on with the offensive line as we wait for Colton Miller, who should be good to go, and actually Jackson Powers Johnson, when will he be available to go?
Any updates on Colton or Jackson?
No, status quo. Status quo. Hopefully getting closer, though. I know Colton's working his tail off.
So, not much there. Those are two starters on the offensive line who are not available, and that's going to be really important. The level of concern for me is not high. It's not medium yet, but every time I come out here and Colton Miller's not working with the ones, and we're not seeing Jackson Powers Johnson out on the field, it's something that's got everyone's attention, and they're going to have to get out here because those are two big parts of what's going to happen here. This is going to be a short passing team. Devontae Adams will be fine. Brock Bowers and Michael Mayer running crossing routes here, but a running team with Zamir White. So if you're going to run the ball with Zamir White, you got to have this offensive line set. And they have to have a lot of, I think, productive days in camp. And there hasn't been that many great productive days, I think, with the offense so far. But I'm not a coach. I'm here on the radio. I'm trying to evaluate it and put people on here that can tell us what they're thinking. Today, I like what they did in 11-on-11 when they did the two-minute drill or a little bit past 2 minutes as they started off in their zone and went the length of the field. Aiden O'Connell and Gardner Minshew on that last drive looked really good. So I want them to build up on that. I want those guys to be productive. And when it comes to this quarterback camp and this quarterback competition, so I used the word C, quarterback camp. Then I used it again, quarterback competition. But the big one is going to be the third one, which I don't want to use, and that is quarterback controversy. And we don't want to have a quarterback controversy, as Levi Edwards is kind enough to join us. And Levi's on the digital team. He joins us. He's one of our insiders. We have him on every other week. We're using him a lot from camp because of his eyes and ears and what he's seen as he's coming off some of the podium sessions that are going on right now. And Levi's kind enough to join us. And I was just saying before you came on, you know, I looked at this as a quarterback competition, and then I looked at it as a potential quarterback controversy if one plays better than the other. I haven't seen that. I've seen it go back and forth. What'd you see today?
I definitely have seen that a lot more. People always ask me all the time on Twitter, or whether I'm texting my friends or wherever. I'm sorry, not Twitter, X. My apologies. Who's the quarterback? Who's the guy? It's so neck and neck now because, you know, one will make a play, the other will make a play, and they have very, you know, this the timing of when they make plays is crazy, of them just kind of feeding off of each other. So really, honestly, it's going to be these preseason games mm-hmm. that are really going to determine. And we have a scrimmage tomorrow, and that's going to also say a lot. But really, I think both are trying to be efficient with the ball. Both are trying not to create any turnovers. And they've both been successful of that this week, I would say.
All right, so tell me about the scrimmage tomorrow compared to a padded practice, compared to a joint practice, and really what you want to get involved with a scrimmage. It's not a walkthrough. How would you describe it?
I think the best way to describe it is, you know, for anybody that, you know, follows college football, mm-hmm. obviously, when you're playing college football, you have a spring game, you kind of have mm-hmm. your depth chart, you get guys out there, you know, first team, second team, do scrimmages, stuff like that, kind of like white shirts versus black shirts, stuff like that. So I would assume that this is going to be kind of like a professional spring ball game. And it definitely seems like it's going to have that energy. It's going to be a little more at night, so it's going to be a little cooler out. So I'm really excited for it, and I think it's also going to be not necessarily no holds barred, but like it's going to be the offense throwing whatever they can at the defense and vice versa. So it's going to be really exciting to see.
Levi Edwards is our guest. When you're on the podium there and you're hearing everybody ask about Jackson Powers Johnson and Colt Miller, who I saw out on the other field today, and everyone feels confident in both of them eventually coming back, but everybody's concerned about the lack of reps they're getting in camp. And if you have a veteran, that's one thing. When you have a rookie, it's a different thing. Take our audience behind the scenes on the depth of the offensive line. If a left tackle has to play and a left guard has to play in the regular season early.
Well, what I've noticed so far is the versatility of the offensive line. A guy that's really starting to emerge, third-round pick DJ Glaze. Mm-hmm. He's a guy that you kind of see being moved around. He stepped in at right side for Thayer, mm-hmm. you know, when he had to take a couple of snaps off, and you also see him kind of going over to the left. And he's a guy that's played, I believe, more than 1,000 snaps in college at both of those tackle positions. So obviously, you know, when you are a right-handed guy, you're going to be a little bit more comfortable on the right side. But he's a guy that has really showed he can play on both sides as a swing. And that's what, you know, you can't ask any more mm-hmm. from a guy that you bring in, you know, as a rookie and is trying to develop in this league. So I really like what I've seen from him in terms of a depth piece. Obviously, Parham can play both sides. You have guys like Andres Pete, who's a veteran. He's looking really good so far. So I really do like the versatility that's been added, but also valued on this offensive line.
Levi Edwards is our guest. So the defense, we've talked a lot about that with you. I had breakfast with George Atkinson today and was going through the depth chart and what he thinks overall. And
I got George.
I think the evolution of and the improvement of Jakorian Bennett is important. He's clearly put on tape and out here in practice that he's better than last year. Is that good enough in your mind to kind of pencil him in as a starter, or am I too early to go there?
I think it's a little too early, but we're getting there. And that's the thing that people don't realize is, you know, obviously he looks better this year than he did last year, but this is a guy who came in as a rookie and won the starting job on the outside. And I thought he had a great training camp last year as well. I think he looked really good. He was, you know, his speed showed. He was going step by step, step for step with a lot of receivers. And then things happen during the season. I mean, you're a rookie. You're just not going to come in and take over the league. You know, like, everybody can't be CJ Stroud. You have to come in and you have to, you know, bust your ass and work for it. And this is the guy, he had his growing pains and he had to face, you know, some real competition and some real injuries. And now I think he's just building upon what he learned last year. And I don't think, you know, people act like this is an entirely different guy and he's so different from last year. I don't think that's the case. I think he's always been a very talented corner. I think you can just start to see the maturity come out a little bit more on the field. And that's what is propelling him to win that job, which I think at the moment, obviously there's competition, but he's the front runner for sure.
Now, as a young reporter and an insider in the NFL, you already know this. We don't root for injuries and we don't want players to be hurt. We want the entire league to be at 100%. That's just a professional way everybody should be acting. That being said, Justin Herbert is not available for a number of weeks now in a boot, and plantar fasciitis. And again, I think, and Raider Nation gives me some hell over this, I think he's fabulous. And now look, he loses games, and he hasn't played perfect in every game, but he's just what I think of. When you think of a quarterback who can do it all, it's him. And he's had some bad coaching, and he's played in some good games. And recently, over the last year or so, I'm surprised that he's lost as many games as he had. And I think they're eventually, now he's got Jim Harbaugh, they're going to fix it. But he's going to miss a lot of snaps in camp with the ones. We get him week one. I'm going to assume he's going to play. And we're both not doctors here, but I don't know how limited he's going to be. What are you thinking across town when you're hearing that Justin Herbert is not going to be practicing for a number of weeks, and we get him week one?
That's a huge development.
Yeah, it's
and,
a big one.
I'm with you. Really, everything you said, JT, I really agree with. Like, I really do think Justin Herbert is a great quarterback, very prototypical size, has a great arm. He can also, you know, he's really good at throwing on the run, which obviously with his injury, that might be a problem.
That's a big problem.
And, you know, I definitely think I would find it very hard to believe he's not ready for week one. But I'm going to tell you, JT, this is the wrong defensive line for him to be having that injury going up against week one. And I was telling people that, I mean, I'm not – the defensive line is really the most loaded position that we have on this team.
Right.
So if he's coming in to that game and his mobility is an issue and his offensive line isn't really taking those snaps with him that he needs to have in the latter stretch of this camp, like that might be a problem. When you're going up against a Max Crosby and a Christian Wilkins and a Malcolm Kuntz and an Adam Butler, like it's going to be an issue. So obviously we want him to be at his best. We're going to be at our best. You don't wish for injuries, but it's not a good look. I'm not going to lie to you, JT.
Yeah, I think you summed it up beautifully. It's a big development. You know, I don't predict injuries and I want people to be healthy. And you know, once you go down that rabbit hole and you hope guys get hurt and you hope they don't come back to play your team, then you can never go back from that. So I'm never going to do that. But it's a big story out here in Southern California. It was big on the news last night, on the local news. And the Chargers don't get a lot of love around L.A. where they're from. Believe me, they don't get a lot of love. But that was one of the breaking news stories. Last thing, it's Friday. Tell our listeners, you know, it camp every day is a practice unless it's an off day. So tomorrow is a scrimmage. So is that all they're doing? Will there probably be a walkthrough scrimmage? How does that work? It's a night scrimmage, correct?
That's correct. So I'm not exactly sure what the setup will be. What I would probably assume, if I had to make an assumption, is they'll probably come in. You know, they'll do their stretching. They'll do their little bit of individual period just to kind of get them loose. And then from then on, it's just going to be a huge, you know, live. It's just going to be a huge live period for the whole practice. Essentially, after individuals, it's just going to be offense versus defense. They're going to simulate games. They're going to simulate, like, different situations within the game to kind of get them loose, have special teams, all that stuff, and be like a real scrimmage, kind of like spring ball feel to it, like I was saying. So I would assume that's how it's going to look.
See you, my friend. Thank you.
Thank you so much, JT. I appreciate you.
You got it. There he is. That's Levi Edwards, kind enough to join us. Follow all his work there as he's fantastic with the digital team there. And we appreciate everybody who jumps in here. If you want to get in, 702-365-9200 as we are exclusively live. But today we're not as exclusive. We got NFL Radio on the other side of the tent. We got a couple of podcasts here in front of us, and we're keeping an eye on all of it as we get going here, too. Mad Max Crosby is standing right in front of him. He's on a podcast with Sibley Scholes, and they're having a good time taking a couple of photos now. Want everybody to jump into our YouTube feed, JT the Brick YT, so you can get some access of what we're doing here as we're having a good time here. The scrimmage is tomorrow night. Also, TJ Ward is going to join us in a little bit. What a career he's had, a Super Bowl champion, a three-time Pro Bowler. He's out here at camp, too, so we'll get to him coming up here in a little bit. 702-365-9200, the Black Hole is another reason why I'm here. You know what I saw today? Members of the Black Hole in Southern California, including Violator, who was out there today in a great mood. As the Violator was here, and he was sweating through it. He was sweating through it in a big way. So we got a lot more to get to. Go to theblackhole.com and become a lifetime fan for under $60. All you got to do is go to the Black Hole to be a part of that. JT, hour number two coming up.
Yeah, I'm just glad that we keep stacking back-to-back days with Jack. Everything I talk with Jack is being about being consistent, being a pro, being on time, being where you're supposed to be, talking, communicating, being accountable, making to where everybody can trust and love you. You know, Jack's a special player. He's been special since I've known him. And when Jack is in a good place, the Raiders are in a good place.
All right, that's Antonio Pierce as we come back. And joining us, TJ Ward, a Super Bowl champion, a three-time Pro Bowler, a great podcaster now, and member of our industry. Thanks for doing this. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Good. Sibley's been a great friend for a long time, so working with her, you're having a great time. And you just talked to Max Crosby, and you had a good story about his rookie year when you got to know him or met him.
Yes, absolutely. Great player, better guy. I had an event with him Super Bowl year. Can't remember. It was a while back before I retired. But it was his rookie season. And he had a pretty good rookie year, so I knew, you know, of him, of his talents, and introduced myself, started talking, had great conversation with him, so I kept my eye on him. And he's only gotten better and better and better. And just to have the interview we had with him and his mindset, that's the type of leader that's going to take your team to championship pedigree and caliber.
It's really important you said that, because you played on a legendary great Super Bowl team, and I remember you coming out of De La Salle. So winning was a big part of your life at an early age. I mean, you had a high level of standard coming into the league, and I remember you playing at such a high level. How tough was it to move on from football into this stage of your life? Because you had a hell of a career. You were a heat-seeking missile. You made a lot of plays. And when you put your head down at night, what do you think about with all those great memories and accomplishments?
I think about what I have next, I have to do the next day. You know, playing football for so long and being in top-tier programs like De La Salle, University of Oregon, Denver Broncos. Mm-hmm. So that type of winning mentality is something you just do next, right? The next team, the next defense, the next coach, you know. But after football, it's kind of like, where do I channel this energy? What do I want to do? I always knew I wanted to stay around the game, whether it was coaching, maybe try to do some front office, podcast, media. And, you know, I have an agency now, so I'm close to players in that sense. And then I'm doing the podcast and more media work right now. So I'm focused on those two things like I was focused on my football career. I'm trying to be an All-Pro Super Bowl champ in this.
What changed when, you know, you played with other teams, but I want to go back to the Raider-Denver rivalry and the bloodbath and the games of the 70s, 60s, 80s, when you came into that rivalry and were indoctrinated into it, when you were just taught, man, this is the Raiders, it's Raider week. How did you dial in to play the Raiders? Why were they different than other teams?
Well, first off, I'm a Bay Area kid, so I've grown up in that environment. I'm from San Francisco, so I grew up a Niner fan, but, you know, all my friends, peers were half Niners, half Raiders, and that mentality, that loyalty from the Raider Nation, win, lose, or draw, we are diehard, blood in, blood out type of fans. So coming to Denver, I knew that was the mentality of you know, Raider Nation players, coaches, and everything. And I just want to kind of bring that type of intensity to our team, you know, in a different way. But you have to meet that. Mm-hmm. And football is a violent sport. So, you know, it comes with some physicality and injuries and things like that. But the mentality is something that it starts with. Like with Max, his mentality mm-hmm. changed. He got sober. And that helped him along in other aspects. And from those aspects, become more detailed, more passionate, a better leader. He could give you examples of what he did and how he got to where he is now. And that says a lot. You just want that from, like I said, 11 guys. When you have 11 guys doing that, sky's the limit for
you. And you watch practice today. The Raiders aren't there yet where they have 11 on 11 on both sides of the ball. But I think they're getting really disrespected in regards to the way the league looks at them nationally. There's a team that won 8 games last year. They've won 8 in a row against the Broncos. They had a better record than the Chargers. And people are picking those teams ahead of the Raiders. The Raiders won 8, and they have a better team than they had last year. But everybody's looking at the low-hanging fruit, saying they don't have a quarterback. Well, I disagree. They have 2 quarterbacks. They aren't elite. You know, they're not Peyton Manning in his prime, but these are guys who can play. Until the Raiders figure out the quarterback position, are they just at a point where they're not going to get that type of credit?
I think that's the name of the league. This, like, if you don't have that quarterback in place, then you're always going to be devalued in a little bit, mm-hmm. right? No matter what. It's just he's the golden boy of football. He's the most important chess piece on the board. So if you don't have that guy, you're going to get devalued a little bit. But like you said, I feel the division's wide open. If anyone can beat the Chiefs or go 1-1, they can win the division. Between the Chargers, the Raiders, and the Broncos. That's what I feel. So somebody has to step up and take that 2 spot.
Last one. If the Chiefs win, they're the greatest team, I think, of all time, because they'll have what the 72 Dolphins didn't have and the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Dynasty. They'll have 3 in a row. And they'll have Mahomes. And I think the 3 in a row is what's evaded this sport. And this league is getting that. You would think that would be good motivation for the AFC West to try to dethrone this team, which was never a dynasty, was never a great franchise, like elite, until Mahomes came around with Kelsey. Well, they were 50 years in between Super Bowl, Super Bowl IV and Super Bowl 54. You won Super Bowl 50, and now people are talking about them as the next dynasty to Brady and the Patriots. Mm-hmm.
They are, and they're talking about Mahomes being the best quarterback of all time. So
it's fair.
You know, that comes with winning. It happens quick. Right?
LeBron or Mike? I mean, you're going to give LeBron any credit to check down Michael Jordan, or is it never going to happen?
Not for me. I got Jordan. I'm a Jordan guy. Hey, I'm a Jordan guy. I mean, love, much respect for LeBron, but you know.
6-0 for Jordan. That can never be topped.
Come on. Like, those championships, the manner in which he won them.
Great answer.
Just, you know.
You just nailed TJ the ultimate thing, because he didn't get to as many finals as Bron. And no one talks about that, but when he did get to them, they were a thing of beauty. And they didn't go to Game 7.
And it was agony if you were on the other side, because you knew it was no question. He's going to seal it.
He's going to put it away.
He's going to put it away.
Let's plug the podcast on the big Raider Nation radio nationally. Tell us all about it.
Hey, what's up, Raider Nation? This is TJ Ward here, and the podcast is House Call. Check us out on YouTube, Instagram, and X, and any other outlet you have. We're here all season, baby. House Call, Sibley and Wade, TJ Ward.
Hey, congrats on all your success. Thanks
Thank
for
you,
doing
sir.
This.
I appreciate it.
You got it. There he is. You got it. TJ Ward coming in. JT and TJ knocking it out. I got to do another hour. You're going to enjoy the great weather here. Take care, man. Good to have you. TJ Ward. That was a good hour. Hope everybody hit the like button. Keep it rolling here. Like, he has a podcast. This is a radio show with a podcast element, and we appreciate that. We're brought to you by the DeCastaverde Law Group. Man, they're unbelievable. Alex and Orlando DeCastaverde, proud partners of our show. If you get into an accident or injured, 702-222-9999. Have their phone number.